I'm going to start off by saying good morning to all of you, and in Chichewa Muliwanji, and just saying it's wonderful to be with you, and Tumela Ukai, and so forth. First of all, I just wanted to say it's a very great privilege to be with you, and I regard this consultation of very great importance. And I believe that eventually this organization has a major role to play in the future of theological education and training in Southern Africa. And with my brother Mutai from Kenya, East Africa, I think we have a major role to play. I hope you will excuse my voice. I'm actually suffering since yesterday and over the weekend from pneumonia, but I just felt it so important to be with you just for this session, though I won't be able to make the rest of the consultation because at 75 I imagine I must take some rest as well and look after the medication and the Lord's provision in all respects. But please excuse my coarse voice, and I sincerely pray that the Lord will help me through this session. Wonderful then to be with you. Just giving you very brief background. Essentially, I'm from Afrikaans background, but it means that I'm a child of Africa. Therefore, I'm committed to this continent. I'm committed to this world. In spite of various challenges and problems, I believe our calling is here, and I believe that we have a tremendous role to play in the future of theology and of the churches in our context. I've been studying at the University of Pretoria and then moved on to the Netherlands, where I did a doctorate in theology, in church history. And then I joined two state universities, and you will listen that my hopes for the future of state universities in terms of theology training are not that high anymore. I've been attached to UNISA and to Pretoria for 30 years of my career, and then I was privileged to be involved with the faculty, theological, evangelical faculty in Louvain, Leuven, just south east of Brussels, and one of our attendees would be part of that context, being part of the administration. It's a fascinating and a wonderful exercise and a wonderful enterprise as well, serving proper biblical theology in this world. And you will hear my constant emphasis on biblical theology. There can be no other theology than biblical theology, I believe. And then after that, having also been linked to Liverpool Hope University in Liverpool, where my great friend and colleague Gerald Pillay, from Indian background, a South African born, is the Vice Chancellor, and then through to Malawi, at the Nokoma University, where things are moving fairly well, although badly affected by COVID and finances, naturally. I can just say before I start off that I have very, very great appreciation for Brother Dr. Mutai's contribution, and I just want to emphasize together with them and with all of us, the time for mediocrity is over. We must be people working towards standards. We must be people working towards excellence of the best quality. Therefore, I start off history and therefore the future of Bible and theological education in the African churches. Immediately when you see my heading, you will realize what's my view on history. History is not only about the past, it's also about the present and the future. And therefore, you will hear me talking quite a bit about the future as well, in my brief paper this morning. I start off with the problem statement, is the 21st century going to be defined as the era of the final decline of Scripture and its authority? There is, in various circles, a level of speculation that this may be the reality of the 21st century. The issue of the decline of Scripture and its authority. And together with that, a new view on different religions developing, universalism. I can tell you I do have respect for all religions. But I once sat in a church in the Netherlands when I studied there. And this well-known missionary reverend, Dr. Overdeen, plainly explained it in the following way. We need not judge others, but if you are called a Christian, if you are through the grace of God a Christian, do not stop witnessing for this great and living God. We are tending in these phases of history to be so soft and so everything goes. I've experienced this tremendously in my years in faculties and also in different church contexts. A matter of everything goes, and a matter of we can just accept everything because we need to be tolerant. There's a level of responsible tolerance and there's a level of irresponsible tolerance. So universalism, on the other hand, the authority of scriptures. What will the implications in light of the history be for the church in Africa is my question, and especially with regards to teaching Bible and theology. Because history is about the present and future as well, I'm now very briefly going to focus on the whole issue of the history as such, the past. I would be able to tie you with many different sources, with many different discussions, with many different perspectives that I have been exposed to in my life. I was a colleague of the very great David Bosch. I was a colleague of the very great Johan Heinz, who was eventually assassinated in 1994 because of his views about what Scripture says about the issue of apartheid in this country. I was a colleague of many people in the UK, in Europe, in North America. I could tie you with many different sources, like Jane Sales, like Peter Hinchcliffe, like a book I and Gerald Pillay wrote on the history of Christianity in Southern Africa. Davenport and Pillay, many, many other things. I'm not going to do that today. I want to hinge on and link on to Christoph Poe, or actually Martin Poe as he's more generally known, who used to be a missionary in Zambia and Malawi and eventually taught at the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa. He looks at the history of theological education in the following vein. Initially, both Protestant and Catholic missions taught evangelists, catechists, and teachers. Having been in the Malawi context, and as I said right at the beginning, this is not only an academic reflection, but it's also a personal note, because I would like to be personal towards you, and I wish to be personal when I come to a challenge right at the end. I have experienced in the Malawian context the wonderful work having been done in the mission fields by so many churches from all over the world. It's fascinating. And though we need to decolonize in many different ways, the missions weren't devils either. And mission and work wasn't from the devil either. Wonderful positive work has been done through the missionary phase and the missionary era, as Stephen Neal puts it so clearly in some of his perspectives on history of church and mission. Wonderful work being done in terms of evangelists, catechists, and teachers. Gradually, standards improved. Naturally, one can understand, and that was late in the 1800s and the 1900s, standards were not that high, but eventually standards did indeed improve. And this was the so-called missionary era of theological training, a very clear phase in history. Then moving and jumping through to development since 1960, a renewed emphasis on theological training became the reality of the day. Not only standards of admission, but also that of training improved. As Brother Mutai has indicated, there was an awareness of standards all through the process, gradually moving and gradually developing to a very clear point. The growth of ecumenical ideal led to joint training schools. The reality of ecumenicity, the reality of the ecumenical ideal, and you would remember the 1800s was called the so-called missionary age, and the 1900s, being fairly general on that, the ecumenical age. But ecumenical ideal led eventually to joint training schools. And fascinating how people cooperated in many different ways. One had the reality of joint boards and theological education by extension developing. You would all know TEE, theological education by extension, and the different boards who worked together and regulated and controlled theological education within various theological institutions all through Southern Africa and also Eastern Africa and West Africa and other parts of our African continent. One can remember the wonderful work, positive work, having been done by the AACC, the All African Council of Churches, and the African Evangelical Organization, which worked in Africa and also and Madagascar. That's why the AM element is also in that acronym. And they all encourage theological training. Various theological institutions played a role. One can think in terms of ASATI and also in terms of just mentioning one other one, UWATI. ASATI was the Association of African Theological Institutions, Southern African Theological Institutions. UWATI was the Organization for West African Theological Institutions, as a body who played a major role in this process of developing theological education. Eventually also ITWOT and ACTIA developed. ITWOT was a body for third world theologians. I partook in that in the sense that it was a pioneering work in terms of African theology and particularly in terms of the history of Africa. I can still vividly remember how with a person like Okbukalu from Nigeria, who sadly passed on a couple of years ago, possibly the top church historian of Africa, that how we cooperated in very many different ways. And then ACTIA, which was an accreditation body. You can imagine that with the development of theological education, the joint boards, the different institutions, like, for instance, just mentioning two, ASATI and WATI, excuse me for that, that there was a need for accreditation as well. And amongst very stringent and proper guidelines, as my brother Mute also indicated. Please, my brothers and sisters, we are Africans who are not going for mediocrity. We are going for the very best. And I feel very, very strong about that. And you will see that I'm coming to a point where I have little faith in the theological education provided by state institutions, and therefore the importance of institutions like TIASA and us as Africans in very many different ways. After this phase, more and more state universities and studies abroad with different emphases. You will know that more and more of our students went to state universities with very good effect. And some universities have still managed to strike a balance, but many of them have lost their focus, in my opinion, when it comes to theology. And then also having been exposed abroad with training and studies at different international universities. I now come to the issue of needs and challenges, and remembering very much from history into the present, further into the future. Issues that are important would that be of theologizing, contextualize and enculturate the Christian heritage that we have in Africa as well. Contextualize and enculturate it, but with the scriptures as the basis and the foundation, not creating enculturated or cultural theology. That is not theology anymore, sad to say, for those of our people in the broader context thinking that is theology. I believe we together are really seeking to strive towards proper biblical theology. But I think that is very important to mention, not without scriptures as the foundation and basis. Then secondly, the different needs of the church for holistic theological education. One must understand and realize the ecclesiastical pluralism, the fact that we are not all the same, but as the book of Corinthians so clearly states, it is a matter of we are part of the one body of Christ. Whether we are a leg, whether we are arm, whether we are a tongue, whether we are the head, it's a matter of we live within a ecclesiastical pluralism context. But secondly, also minister to the needs of people, with the main aim being kingdom-oriented and a sense of mission. I think it's of utmost importance that we need to have a kingdom theology at the back of our minds constantly, and on the other hand, a sense of mission. In terms of general theological education, Central to African theology, I believe, is scriptures. I can remember two very vivid experiences. On the one hand, with Ogbukalu. We shared so many interesting experiences. But deep down, as a top academic, having taught in Chicago for very long, where he finally suffered from pneumonia and passed on, how deeply and spiritually mature his constant approach to academic work and to personal life was. On the other hand, Gerald Pillay, let us be honest, we are not always as willing to kneel down when we say prayers. I shared a room with him when he got an honorary doctorate from the Nkoma University in Malawi. And I still vividly remember how Gerald Pillay went down on his knees at the end of the day and expressing and witnessing, not as a token, but as a reality in his life, how deeply he felt about his faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Central to African theology, and we must retain that as much as possible, would be scriptures. John Powell, strongly supported by people like Parrott and Kwesi Dixon, says that the Bible is definitely the primary source for African theology. Then moving on to the present situation and a few of my views on that. Secularization, I need not go into that in any detail at this point in time. The reality of us becoming more and more like the world, instead of being the salt of the earth and instead of being the light of this world. Postmodernism. Naturally, we go through processes and phases of different philosophical emphases. We had pre-modernism, we had modernism. We are now in the so-called postmodernism. I always felt very clear about that never ever are you functioning in terms of philosophical emphases of your time and period, are you functioning without a critical viewpoint. And as a Christian, our critical viewpoint is the scriptures. Therefore, to eat up lock, stock and barrel postmodernism and say, I'm a modern theologian, I'm a modern church person, is so short-sighted. There are positive dimensions to postmodernism. But on the other hand, when it comes to the reality of I cannot have truth on certain issues in life, there is nothing like truth anymore. What about the truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in the Father and through the Holy Spirit? In my opinion, this is nonsensical. Fundamentalism, brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of the reality of fundamentalism. Be aware that if we are tending somewhat to the right of the center because we still feel strong about scriptures and the basic foundations of faith, we need to be very, very cautious about fundamentalism and not ending up in a fundamentalistic approach to theology and to the church. On the other hand, liberalism, theological liberalism, is a reality of our times, a sharp reality. I was attached to the University of Pretoria, which was a so-called church faculty of the Dutch Reformed Church, which meant, and still actually means, that this faculty is training students for the ministry in the Dutch Reformed Church. Naturally, after 2000, things have changed for many different churches now, but essentially it was, is the sound still clear? Sorry, is the sound still clear? Okay. In any case, it was a matter of that through the process in the course of the years that this theology became haywire at this institution, to be quite honest about that. And I've experienced how colleagues of mine went through the processes of indicating the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just plainly a symbol and just plainly a metaphor. What hope can you spread in theological church training if you end up in that position? You can imagine. I also plead, and we are all part of, in different ways, of creeds. Starting off right at the beginning, the Apostolic Creed, the 12 Articles, and also the Confessions of Faith. We would have different other confessions of faith. In the Reformed tradition, you would have various, like the Belgian Confession, Heidelberg Catechism, but also then in the more English traditions, you would have the Westminster Confession. And I can carry on and expand on that very extensively. Becoming a truly biblical and confessing church again, and not resisting against development. We should be open to the future because we are not old-fashioned people. We are the pioneers of biblical theology in the 21st century over against the reality of the decline of the centrality of scriptures. The future in light of the past and present situation. Very briefly, DRC, Dutch Reformed Church, Theological Education in History. A very, very broad overview. The history as from 1859 onwards, you would remember that from early on, it was primarily Dutch-trained ministers, and from the 1820s, it would have been Scottish-trained ministers coming to South Africa. But in 1859, the Stellenbosch faculty was founded. Currently, there would be three theological faculties in the country of the Dutch Reformed Church where, and please, I'm not bashing the Dutch Reformed Church, but I'm just plainly honest. I'm still part of the DRC, but I'm very, very worried as well. The reality is that there would be three theological faculties in the Dutch Reformed Church. Where did it go wrong with apartheid theology since 1948? It went wrong because of the loss of the centrality of scriptures and because of ideology. Nothing more, nothing less. Naturally, it's a general perspective, but it was the loss of the centrality of scriptures and an ideology developing. Where did it go wrong with liberal theology since 1986? And I've been part and parcel of this. Sometimes not very easy, I can tell you. I was ostracized at the Faculty of Theology at the University of Pretoria because I was the only individual willing to stand up and say, We cannot go on this route. Eventually, I retired 5 years earlier, but I can just tell you the provision of the Lord after that, in all respects. I had a far greater life than I would ever have had in those 5 years remaining at the University of Pretoria. And please, I'm not bashing. I'm a critical, loyal person, have been like that all through my life. Being critical, but in a loyal way. But this is the reality of what's happening at the theological faculties of the Dutch Reformed Church. And therefore, I'm also part of this Kairos movement, which is working towards the reformation of the Dutch Reformed Church. I must say and add, though, that the chances of reformation within the Dutch Reformed Church, just to mention one of the churches, and I'm not focusing now on Dutch Reformed Church history only, but I'm just using this as a case study. But the chances of reform within the top management and top leadership of the Dutch Reformed Church is not very good. And as you will know, all over the world, it's a matter of the centrality of scriptures, and then you end up with problems like LGBTQI plus and whatever, and then you end up with cultural issues, you end up with humanistic theology and the like. The reality of unbiblical churches we have to face. Theological faculties, I'm just going to jump over that part, and I believe the PowerPoints will be distributed afterwards. Theological faculties, all I'm going to do is just adding, just see whether I'm still there, ending with the last sentence of that point number 3. Can theology and theologians develop and provide a truly new paradigm and vision again or not? I believe at the state universities, it's not that possible anymore. And it's so sad to state this. Lessons from history for Bible schools, Bible colleges, institutions like George Whitfield College, like Mukanyu, like various other SATs, and I can carry on with Baptist training colleges and so forth. I'm just going to end off for the sake of time with my last sentence of point number 3. Can the Bible schools and their colleges and lecturers develop and provide a truly new paradigm and vision again? I believe so. How? Through possibly colleges and seminaries like George Whitfield College, like Mukanyu, like what we are attempting to do currently. And we are pretty far along the road already, involving the Northwest University in some different ways with our theological training, and also Veritas, that you may know about, which is also doing very strong biblical evangelical theology on an international basis. Some good principles for the past and good theological training in the churches in Africa in the 21st century. A good church needs good theology and vice versa. If you don't have good theology, you cannot be a good church. And if you don't have good churches, you cannot have good theology either. Good theology is biblical theology versus liberal theology. I remember teaching students, what is liberal theology in the course of history? It is when the centrality of scriptures is being lost. Biblical theology also needs sound documents of faith. let me be honest. When we have dumped all documents of faith, the first thing that we're going to do the next morning is just explaining to our congregations and to our brothers and sisters, what does it mean to accept the Bible as an authoritative document? What does it mean to accept Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Never ever will we be able to function without sound, balanced documents of faith. And then theological training for the church is about academic theology, hinging on to what Brother Mutay said, but also about spiritual formation of students. I cannot train a student for the Dutch Reformed ministry by just plainly teaching him theology or church history. He needs to be spiritually formed by my witness, by my way of living in all different aspects of the word, and we've lost that. We thought it was just plainly a clinical academic exercise. Point number five, theological training, you must have respect for the own tradition, but must also be ecumenical and inclusive and relevant within sensible limits. And Brother Mutay has emphasized that as well. Consolidation of well-balanced theological training. We are definitely not a bunch of old-fashioned people. We are the pioneers of the 21st century. Bear that in mind. We must form new networks of well-balanced theological and Bible school institutions in our countries and our regions, and close cooperation between these institutions. And then I come to my final conclusions, just two or three brief pages. One of the most important aspects of being the church, the Bible and its unique message should be central. If things go wrong at Bible schools and theological trainings in the 21st century, things go wrong with the churches, and things go wrong with our members, and things go wrong with where people find hope and salvation for very difficult times. This is our only source of hope and salvation, the belief in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the scriptures, the Holy Bible. We need to prioritize in Africa, get the best students and teachers, and go for the best. Good leadership in the 21st century. In teaching the true gospel, there is solid ground for the future in the triune and eternal living God. Point number five, ex Africa aliquid novi. From Africa there is always something new and hopefully hopeful. And that's my adage for this morning. Are we not called in Africa, together with the southern world, but also more especially in Africa, to be the real pioneers for a new future in terms of theological training and Bible school education? In the outside world, it may happen that the 21st century will be defined as the era of the final decline of Scripture and of a new universalistic faith. But what will be the end story of all of that? Churches will disappear. People who are believers will find no place to be fed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And churches will become museums and mechanical workshops and the like. It's a suicidal church and a bankrupt theology. As easy and as plain as that. A suicidal church and a bankrupt theology. Point number 7, I however hope and believe that Africa may make the difference. It is up to you and to me, all of us children of Africa, through God's Spirit. Through God's guidance, this is our challenge. And then, point number 9, this is indeed also our calling. And now I come coming with the challenge, possibly a call on Tiasa for a declaration of Pretoria or Tswane, whatever you wish to call that. And the contents of my challenge would be the following. The rise, without being negative, the rise of non-state managed and overseen by government without losing standards, and these governments have their standardization systems which we have to abide to, but the rise of non-state theological faculties and theological Bible training colleges or seminaries. Secondly, stating good theology is biblical theology. Thirdly, we are not willing to accept the decline of scriptures in the 21st century. And finally, in terms of this challenge, collaboration through Tiasa and all of us together at this opportunity and this event. And we don't have months or years or decades to do this. I'm not a melodramatic person, but I think in terms of my historical perspective, the crisis is on us, and within the next few years, 5 years at the most, I would say we will have to come to a point where it's a clarity and a reality that this is the way we wish to go. This is a Kairos moment. Having looked at the history, the past, the present, and the future of theological training, and sharing also my personal experiences and my witness as well, I call on you, my brothers and sisters. Africa and my brothers and sisters, we need to return back to God and the basics in the triune God. We have lost the basics. And therefore my prayer is, Nkosi Sikelel I Afrika. May God bless Africa. And I want to say, in my mother tongue, baie dankie. Dankie ook teenoor, and rather translating that in English, praise to the Lord that I survived through this session with not much of a cough. And I will assure you that I will go back to bed now. After this, I'll stay for another half an hour, but care for my body as the temple of God. But my prayer is that the Lord will bless Africa. Baie dankie. Thank you very much. By a donkey, can I just refer to that, is not by a donkey, but by a donkey. So by a donkey, Sikomo Kwambire in Chichewa, Siabonga Gakulu in Zulu, and Kialibocha in Sepedi Sutu. By a donkey, it was a great privilege to be with you this morning. God be with you, and may the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all and with Tiasa in what I believe their calling is in the days and the months and the years to come. Amen. Thank you.